won't put as much strain on the electrons. And Shirley, who's calling us from Seattle.
Yes, Dr. Wright. Wonderful to get you. I am pre-diabetic, and thanks to your newsletter and radio shows, I've been taking 500 milligrams of berberine 3 times a day for about 3 years to help keep my blood sugar under control. But I have read something that really concerns me, and you may be able to shed some light on my question. I recently suggested berberine to an acquaintance who is also pre-diabetic and does not want to take metformin, but she did some research and sent me information on a study that I was able to pull up, published in the journal Diabetes in 2010 by researchers in the renal departments of 5 Chinese and U.S. Medical clinics and schools, which found that in mice, at least, berberine led to decreased protein synthesis and increased muscle degradation and atrophy. And the article's concluding sentence said that no muscle wasting has been reported in type 2 diabetic or insulin-resistant patients as opposed to mice. But they added, unless the patients were elderly or sedentary. And I'm 86 years old and relatively sedentary by virtue of my severe spinal stenosis with scoliosis. And also 14 years ago, I was diagnosed with a probable low-grade polymyositis or muscle disease. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the progression of the polymyositis has been greatly slowed by my taking low-dose naltrexone nightly, but if berberine to control my blood sugar could possibly be contributing to any muscle wasting, since I'm not able to exercise very vigorously, and that creates a dilemma for me. Are you able to shed any light on that? Is it okay to continue taking the berberine? Should I cut back? Do I need to find an alternative treatment? Or you may be familiar with the study I'm referring to.
No, I'm not, ma'am, and I would very, very much appreciate if you would email into Atomic Clinic has a contact us and email here, and email that in. I don't need the whole study. I just need the citation. And
I can mail the whole study.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. That just look up the clinic address and mail it in.
And now, I mail it to your attention? Or
yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Okay.
Now, let's think of some ways we can get around this problem if it exists. And I'll need to read the research and see what they've done and so forth.
In the same year that the studies on berberine were reported in U.S. medical journals. Very strange. Okay.
Yeah. And then I really would like to see it. Nobody knows everything, especially me. So that's why I keep looking. So let's talk about a couple of things. One is experience. I've worked with a lot of folks with berberine since those studies came out in 2009, the two big initial ones. And so far, because people check back from time to time, and so far nobody's mentioned any muscle troubles. Now, that doesn't prove anything, but it does say, well, I better study this topic before I believe it totally. Second thing, though, is that there are many things that can help to preserve muscle. And for you, ma'am, particularly with type 2 diabetes, unfortunately, testosterone, the little testosterone there may be at age, what did you say, 80-something? The little testosterone 86. There may, 86, thank you. Testosterone is turned into estrogen in both men and women's bodies. Now, women's bodies do it lots more efficiently, or they wouldn't have more estrogen than men. But still, it happens in both men and women's bodies. And the problem is that diabetes accelerates that in both men and in women. So I would wonder, have you had your testosterone levels checked at age 84?
No, I haven't, but I do have or had I had a lumpectomy for cancer, breast cancer, and I'm told not to take any hormones, whether testosterone would be one of those. that I should avoid? I don't
Well,
know.
yes, it could turn into estrogen, and if it turns into the wrong kind of estrogen, then that could be a problem. But here's the thing, ma'am. One of the things we've learned over the years of doing bioidentical hormones, and that's since 1982 at Tahoma Clinic, is that we can actually get all these estrogens and estrogen metabolites measured, and we can follow whether a person has a pro or anti-carcinogenic balance. So if we were thinking of using testosterone, and actually I'm going to move on to the next thing pretty soon, but if we were thinking of it, we could just say, okay, well, please do this urine test. It'll tell us whether your estrogens are balanced towards cancer or away from cancer. And on top of that, we always, 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 with breast cancer survivors, add in estriol. That's the strictly anti-carcinogenic estrogen that's known to lower the risk of breast cancer. And we add in 2-methoxyestradiol, which is such a potent anti-carcinogenic estrogen that one of the researchers called it profoundly anti-carcinogenic. So I work with a lot of women who've had breast cancer who would prefer to have some estrogen around, thank you, otherwise they don't feel as good. And we measure their balance, and we make sure that there is enough estriol and 2-methoxyestradiol to outnumber any of the other estrogens. And that way, even if their bodies are turning too much testosterone into estrogen, well, we just keep them balanced properly, thank you. And some of those women have been doing this for a decade, and they've had no recurrence. Now, Ted, the reason I brought up testosterone at all is that it's a muscle maintainer and builder for both men and women. But let's skip to the next thing. A report came out just a few years ago, maybe 3 or 4, that another hormone which has got nothing at all to do with breast cancer, called oxytocin, helps to maintain and even partially regenerate muscle in both men and women. And so women who want to avoid testosterone can, if they wish, go to the oxytocin. It's available only on prescription, darn it, far as I know, through compounding pharmacies. But even so, the evidence that oxytocin helps to maintain and regenerate muscle is very, very definite. The researchers pointed to the biochemical pathway. They followed it from oxytocin all the way over to the muscles, and sure enough, that's what it does. So there's this, the testosterone we can put on the background. The oxytocin is available in compounding pharmacies. And then I'll get to one that's available in your local natural food store. And it's called either SOMA by some companies, and it's called SUMA by some companies. And it's been found that this stuff helps to build muscle. Bodybuilders use it all the time, but it doesn't mess with anybody's DNA. It's really cool, because most things that build muscle do go to the DNA. Instead, it goes to the next couple of steps after this nucleus and the DNA to the RNA. The message goes from the DNA to the RNA to the organ, namely the muscle. So this one stimulates RNA, and so it has no risk of cancer as it might if we mess with the DNA. And bodybuilders use it to build their muscles all the time. Now, it has this gosh-awful long Greek name, Paphia paniculata, which I won't bother spelling because the health food stores have it all under Soma or Suma.
Okay, I've been taking something with leucine, HMB, I forget just what that stands for, which is also supposed to help muscles, but
Well,
I'll look into that.
you're doing the right things, ma'am.
Okay, and oxytocin is OXYTOCIN?
You got it.
And is that a hormone?
Yes, it's the one that comes out in a giant flood when a woman's having her baby because it also helps to control pain.
Okay. Well, you've taken so much time with this. I thank you very much. And I will send that article. And if you've got any reaction, I'd love to hear it.
Well, just leave a return address. That's all we need.
All right. Thank you so very much. Wonderful. Have a great day.
And you too, and it's time for a break here.